This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by Nomad PHP. Start a habit of continuous learning. Visit nomadphp.com and subscribe today. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. We're here in beautiful Istanbul, Turkey at PHP Conf, the very first one. And my guest today is Mr. Davy Shafiq, longtime friend. Say hey to everybody, Davy.
Hey, everybody.
Davy is the only person that has ever kicked me out of IRC for being too drunk. I'll never forget that. That was a tech one year, you know? And that was the year that Lig had to help me back to my room anyhow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyhow, hey, Davy, you're a, like a lot of us, you're a longtime developer evangelist, but you've got a new gig now. Talk to us a little bit about the company you're working with.
So I'm now at Akamai. For people who don't know Akamai, which I really didn't, I'd kind of heard a little bit about them. They're most well known for being a CDN, content distribution network. Mm-hmm. They are responsible for up to 30% of the internet's traffic. They're a large, large company. And they've just got some amazing technology. Like, just to handle that, obviously, is mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. So I'm just starting to get into, you know, kind of how they do that and what that entails. I didn't know Akamai is actually, Hawaiian.
Oh.
For, I think, witty and smart, something like that.
I thought it
was Japanese or something, but it's actually Hawaiian.
As did I.
Yeah.
Now, I've known who Akamai was since late 90s. I mean, mm-hmm. They've been around forever. They're not your typical startup that's looking for a developer evangelist. It's a very mature product. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about what you do there.
So, I mean, Akamai is based out of MIT. Mm-hmm. They were an MIT project. As you say, they've been around for a while. So part of what I'm doing there is they have this fantastic initiative called the Open Initiative. They're trying to be more transparent, and they're building new APIs with the community and through the community. So they have their open APIs, which they have their legacy, which are, you know, they're working products, but maybe they don't follow the latest trends in terms of how we would want to do these, like SOAP and things like that. Like, they want to go towards REST and whatnot. So we now have our open APIs, and a lot of what I'm doing is working with those and helping people work with those. So,
very cool, very cool. Hey, you've also got a little side project. Talk to us about securepasswords.com.
Yeah, securepasswords.info.
Oh.
So it's literally a static site from Sculpin. Sculpin is awesome, right? It's basically a project to help promote the secure storage and usage of passwords. So basically Bcrypt or PBK, DF2, I think it is, whatever is kind of prevalent and best practices for that language, so or framework. So it covers not just PHP and not just like PHP frameworks, but also like I've got Ruby, like generic Ruby, Ruby on Rails, I think I've got Python, I think I have Node.js, I'm waiting for somebody to finish a Go. Like, I'm trying to kind of hit everybody. It's not just me writing these. I'm going to people and saying, hey, this is your language, this is your thing, contribute. Like, I'd love to see, it's just like a single, very short blog post on, you know, how to do Bcrypt and such what in that language.
Now, you said it's a static site, but these are code samples that people can learn from.
Yeah, they're best practice code samples. So for PHP, like raw PHP, vanilla PHP, it's the new passwords extension, the password package from Anthony, right?
Yeah.
So either one. But then, like, for Zend Framework 2, it's Zend Auth, for example, which does use that, obviously, but, like, this is how to do it in ZF2. Mm-hmm. I think we also cover ZF1, I can't remember. But yeah, Python, it's a completely different thing. They have a Bcrypt package, but obviously, like, it's not the same API or anything, so
right.
It's really how to use that package, and Node and everything else, and yeah.
Very cool. Well, I said at the when I was introing you that you've been a longtime developer evangelist, and I've been doing developer evangelist longer, but we actually had a title, you know. Me and Jay Pipes, they didn't really know what to call us. You know, we didn't know what we were doing, but we were out there having a whole lot of fun. Talk to me a little bit, because I'm stepping out of that role now in my career, but you're firmly in it, and you talk to a lot of other developer evangelists. How is the role maturing?
So I think there's, I don't think people understand a lot of what we do. There's definitely two sides to this role. There is the evangelist role and why you get that title. It's the proselytizing, getting the product out there, getting the company name out there, getting people familiar with, you know, your products and helping them solve problems and stuff with your products.
Mm-hmm.
The other side to it, and actually I don't care for the evangelist title because of this, I prefer advocate. The other side of this is actually advocating for the people in the community
mm-hmm.
to make your products better for them. So you actually become a feedback loop for the company.
Yeah.
So this is kind of where I think a lot of this is going. I do think that there are many different ways of doing evangelism. As I say, I don't care for the title because I don't like the connotations of the proselytizing.
No, I appreciate the advocacy. Matter of fact, the last role like this I held was at Pantheon, mm-hmm. and when they hired me, I said, I don't want evangelist. I want advocate because I face the community for the company, but I also face the company for the community.
Absolutely. And so at Engine Yard, where I started this role, I got to choose the title. I was the first person on the team, so I went with community engineer because I thought it was kind of smart. It had engineer in the title, which I am. I wanted mm-hmm. people to know I'm a technical person. I come to this from a technical background. I was a senior dev, lead dev. That's who I am. That's my qualifications to have mm-hmm. these conversations. But also, there's a... You're a community member and you're helping the community, but also there's this kind of social engineering aspect to it I thought was kind of creepy. But yeah, community engineering, right? Moving to Akamai, they had a team already. They already had a title. So I didn't get the choice or the freedom there, but that's okay because it's about how I do the job, not about the title on the business card, right?
Yeah.
And I would often tell people that at Engine Yard, I would sell more people on Heroku, our quote-unquote competitor, than I would on Engine Yard because their product fit those people better.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'd have sold them on Engine Yard's product, they would have gone away with a very bad impression, and that's an anti-sale. You know, they go to three people on Engine Yard. It's too expensive, it's too complicated, whatever. They get a bad impression because it's the wrong product.
But by advocating for Heroku, the next time they are in looking, they're
exactly.
remembering you fondly.
And you explain to them kind of why your product is wrong and where they were doing this kind of thing, then your product would be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as they start doing that, they're like, oh, I really like that guy, and I really like, you know, what he's doing and what he said, and he was right about this, so maybe he's right about his company too.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of playing the long game. At Akamai, it's very different because we are actually now dealing with technology. It's like engineering is kind of hosting. That's a kind of a long-term
mm-hmm.
change. But using an API, especially like using a CDN, that's kind of an immediate now thing.
Yeah.
Like when you need a CDN, you're kind of at that point where it's like, okay, we need to solve, you know, our customers in Japan are not getting good performance. We need to solve this now.
Yeah.
Or we, you know, we know we're...
Unless you're the Olympics, you can't really plan for,
exactly.
I know in 2 years I'm going to need this.
Exactly. And you know, a lot of this also, it's not just content distribution in terms of global distribution. It is also just actually offloading from your own servers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the reason that Akamai is responsible for so much traffic is because they are now the source for it as you know, when people are requesting it. So the customer's machines are not doing as much work. It's already pushed out and done. It's kind of, you know, cached, essentially. So, you know, it's a much more immediate need. So this role is going to be actually quite different for me. I'm actually going to be spending a lot more time, I hope, with customers writing code and, you know, doing a lot more like, here's how to use the product. Engineering was more of a service that you consumed, not something you interacted with or needed to use as a developer. So I'm actually really looking forward to this. I'm going to hopefully doing a lot more hackathons, things like that.
Okay.
So that should be really interesting. And I've been at Akamai now for quite a short time, and it's, as I say, they have a large range of products. I'm still coming to grips with that.
Mm-hmm.
They're most well known for their CDN.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do things like geolocation and global DNS and things like that, right? They have a lot more than just the the CDN. So I'm kind of looking to see how we can, as a community, apply those, because I do think that until you get to a certain scale and need Akamai, you don't really know that those features are even available to you and that these things are technologies that, you know, ways of solving problems.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, you try to solve them yourself, and they are very difficult problems to solve, right? So I part of my kind of conversation with Akamai as I was going through the motions of, you know, interviewing and this sort of stuff is, you have not come to my community. Like, this is the community that I work in, and these are my friends and my peers and the people that I enjoy spending time with. And we don't know much about you.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not already a customer, we actually don't know what you do. And I think that that's a disservice to you. We're a huge community.
Yeah.
We have a huge amount of collective buying power. Yes, there's a lot of very small businesses, but you know, we can. It's also fairly easy to educate them. So you know, if we can do that, then we can collectively come together around these kind of technologies. And I'm very happy that Akamai is definitely of the opinion that we don't want to sell our product. We want to educate on the technologies that we happen to have products on. Mm-hmm. So things like CDN, but CDN in general. Yeah. We're not the only CDN product. We know that. We may be the best. But, you know, it depends on what your needs are.
Well,
and stuff like
and
that.
So this is not something that a lot of people have to deal with. Right. But it dovetails nicely with my talk this morning where I said you have to stay curious. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if you need this right now. Yes. You need to know what's available.
Absolutely.
So that when you do need it, you've got the answer.
Exactly. And you don't need to know everything about it. You just need to know that it's there, kind of what it's for, and where it might slot into your technology stack, right? You don't need to know how to use it right now. You just need to know that there is an answer, and it's solved. It's a problem that is in a box you can kind of purchase, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's there's a huge value in that. And I do think as a community, as I say, like, obviously, like, Facebook, for example, they have a CDN. I think they have their own CDN. I don't even know. But, like, they obviously need that. They're at the kind of scale where they have gone past the growing pains of needing this and have implemented it. But that's not something that they kind of openly share. You probably notice it if you've ever copied a link to an image or something. It's FBCDN, whatever, right? You might see it in there and not even click on what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, these are very important things to understand when it comes to architecture, especially. When you're architecting for distributing through a CDN, you may make different decisions to if you don't need a CDN.
Yeah.
And if you're doing geolocation and these kind of things, like, you need to think about distributed architectures and global distribution.
And that's a whole different way of thinking.
Absolutely.
Hey, you said something, and I want to back up to this because I think this is kind of important. When you were talking about becoming a developer evangelist or a developer advocate, you said, I'm already a developer.
Yes.
I've seen companies put non-developers in this role. What are your thoughts on that?
I think there is a role for them. I don't think it is this role. It's very similar.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly a marketing aspect to it.
Yeah.
And you can have people that are not technical or especially technical or not engineers or former engineers. You can have them do that part of the role. And they can be very effective at it. They can even be better at it than we are because we're not marketing people. Mm-hmm. Right? I've found that for me, the best kind of solution is myself plus a marketing person when you get on very well. So you might remember Noelle.
Yeah, I loved her, yeah.
She was in our marketing team, and mm-hmm. she's actually getting more and more technical. It's fantastic, but at the time, she really hadn't done much technical stuff. So, you know, working together, that was a very effective team.
Very interesting.
But yeah, I do think there is certainly value, and it's not just, there's a whole bunch of roles around this. There's community manager, there's developer relations, there is the marketing aspect of it. There's a whole kind of bunch of things that we touch on, and I think the evangelist is kind of the center of that, in that we do some marketing, we do some relationship stuff, we do some advocacy and evangelism, all these kind of things. So we are kind of in a touching on a whole different, whole bunch of different.
So if you've got a team around your developer evangelism, then you do see roles for non-technical or non-coders.
Yes, absolutely. I really see a lot of value in it. And I mentioned there's a community people Slack, which is, you know, a lot of developer evangelists, but also community managers and people that are not technical.
Mm-hmm.
And they have huge amounts of value there. They understand things like how to measure metrics, how to measure performance as for ourselves, not for the company, right? How do you measure your own success, right? They're more in tune with that kind of thing because these are things they deal with in their line of work. I will also say that I'm extremely grateful for an engineer that I was under marketing, and I did a lot of stuff working with sponsorships and actually, you know, doing messaging and things like that, that I would never have come into contact with otherwise. Certainly as an engineer, I never would have touched that sort of stuff. And you end up starting to think about things like audiences and who you're actually talking to and things like this, and you start to learn empathy. Marketing is all about empathy, I think. And this is actually a really important skill for developers. Once you can gain empathy, then you can actually build better software, I think, that will actually meet your users' need, not just happen to be good software, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is a completely different thing. So, yes, technical, non-technical, there's different aspects to it.
Wonderful. Well, let's wrap this up. Before I let you go, though, same question I ask everybody. What's your local user group and what's the URL?
So it is the Tampa Bay PHP user group.
Okay.
It is on Meetup, but I don't know the specific URL, so just Google Tampa Bay PHP. We've been around about 4 months now. It's actually been around for a lot longer, but we started up again 4 months ago. And we're already getting 15, 20, 30 people a time. So
wow, that's excellent.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, thank you, and I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us on Voices of the Elephant, but you've given back so much to the community over so many years. I want to say thank you for everything that you do for the PHP community.
Thank you. I don't know how to respond to that. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT.